Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, October 17th, 2014. And with me today, I have my communications expert, Kelly Gaumont, on deck. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And thanks for jumping in and joining me today. I do appreciate it.
Certainly.
So it looks like we both survived Man, I was going to come up with a really clever turn on apocalypse for yesterday's thing, but announcement apocalypse just doesn't sound clever.
No, we need something better.
Well, all right, I'll work on it. If someone else has a better idea, let me know. Anyhow, so we both survived yesterday's Apple Media announcements, new iPads and all that.
The fire hose of information.
The fire hose of information, yes. And so now here we are today. And while there's another thing I want to talk about from yesterday that wasn't actually in the announcements, the first thing I want to do is take a look at something that isn't surviving.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be TwitPic.
I'm so sad about this.
Yeah, so, yeah, it is kind of sad. So to fill everyone in, the deal is TwitPic, as they were filing all the paperwork, or going through the process to get the trademark on their company name, they got pretty much to the end of that process, and then Twitter filed an objection. And so this is like a multi-year process. And then here they are this year, and Twitter files an objection to the name.
They're basically in the home stretch before Twitter goes, wait, no.
Exactly.
I was going to play with that tomorrow, basically.
Yeah. And so the way it's all playing out is that what TwitPic did was they announced in September, I think it was in September, that they were just going to have to shut down the company as opposed to change the company name, which I found to be kind of odd, but I don't know all the details, all the secret inner workings, so I just have to accept for now that was the appropriate decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said you have to have all of your photos offloaded by September 25th, and then they're like, wait, never mind. We think we have everything in place where we can get a buyer for our company.
Mm-hmm.
And
hooray.
Yeah. So then it was
old
like,
school Twitter nerds rejoiced.
And then now that all those old school Twitter nerds are going, oh, because as it turns out, they weren't able to make a deal come together with any buyers.
Right. Now, for people who don't know much about TwitPic, initially, back in the olden days of Twitter, there was no way to post a picture to Twitter. There wasn't an easy way to do it. And so these other services popped up. I'm not going to be able to remember any of the others because the only one I ever used
TwitPic, Instagram.
TwitPic. Well, Instagram wasn't built for this. TwitPic was specifically built so that it was an easy way to bounce a photo over into part of a tweet.
And that shows you how long it's been since I've had to use all the different services, because I had forgotten Instagram didn't set up that way. They added the ability to link in.
Yeah, they did, and they didn't even do that at first. As soon as Instagram came out, then people were like, well, why don't you put pictures on Twitter? So there was TwitPic. Moby is the one I'm thinking of.
Moby, I forgot about them.
Moby 2, and there's a frog. Why frog? So all of these services were built, specifically TwitPic was built, so that you had an easy place to stash a picture so that you could link to it from Twitter, because Twitter didn't have pic.twitter.com yet to try to harness more of your content. So these places were really easy. And then as they proved their worth, more people were trying to use them. Then the mobile clients started supporting them. So you could go into your preferences of your Twitter app, whatever it was, if you were using one that Twitter didn't make. Or in the olden days before, when it was Tweety, before Twitter bought it and ruined it, you could go into your preferences and say, this is the service I use for photos. And then you could tell it TwitPic or YFrog or Moby, whatever. And this was an easy way to share pictures on Twitter. And they found sort of a way around this. And then eventually Twitter went, well, wait, if you want to share pictures on Twitter, you have to do it our way. And that's where we got pic.twitter.com. Just like with links, we now have the taco links that usually don't work. Can you tell they're really popular with me right now? I will tell you is that if you do have a TwitPic account, if you did ever post pictures there from Twitter, you can go to the settings, log in using Twitter, using your Twitter profile. Once you're logged in, if you go to settings, at the very, very bottom, there's an option for export your photos. And then you have to hit request download link. And after a little while, I think it's usually about 24 hours, it'll say, instead of saying request download link, it will say your download link is below. And then you can download all your pictures that you posted there.
So if you've been using TwitPic and you don't want to lose the photos that you have posted there, mm-hmm. make sure you go and request your export link right away.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'll get down to the 25th and you'll end up losing your photos.
Right. Because we don't know what's going to happen at that point. We don't know if the site is going to vanish altogether. We don't know if it's going to just sit there in its current state until, you know, the domain registration expires or a server crashes or whatever. We have no idea what the state of any of this is going to be as of October 26th.
Right. But we do know that if you haven't downloaded your photos by the 25th, you're just out of luck.
Yeah, you're not going to get them.
So anyhow, there you go. Just wanted to give everyone a little PSA and lament the passing of TwitPic.
It's very sad.
And so the other topic that I wanted to take a look at was something that Apple didn't actually announce during their media event yesterday, but it's like really fascinating. So the new iPad Air 2, and it'll be the same, I think, for the iPad Mini 3.
Mm-hmm.
The LTE version includes a new SIM card.
Mm-hmm.
And the SIM card is what lets you have your accounts that you can get online through a cell service and use data. Apple's new card, I'm calling it the Highlander card because it's one single SIM card that covers all the carriers. And I'm finding this fascinating because that means it works for AT&T and Verizon. And
does it work for Verizon?
It doesn't.
I don't. Well, I'm asking, does it? Because I'm not convinced. I know I'm not convinced about that yet. I haven't seen anything that definitively says so.
Okay, and
but they're the only one. Leave it to Verizon.
Yeah. All right. So it's possible it doesn't work with Verizon, but then works with everyone else.
Yeah.
And to roll all the carriers into a single card like that, that's just fascinating. And mm-hmm. And since you don't need to have a contract,
mm-hmm.
that means that you can shop around from week to week or month to month, whatever, uh-huh. and pick the carrier that has the best deal for you for when you happen to need data.
Yeah. Today, there's a special on buying data if I get it through Starbucks because I'm at Starbucks right now. But it's only if I use AT&T. Okay. And, you know, I pay them $10 and I get my data and move on with my life. And then in a month or two, I'm somewhere and T-Mobile is advertising that they will give me cheap data. Okay. And I don't have to do anything about the card.
Yeah, it's as if Apple just turned the whole thing with wireless data into a cafeteria style purchase,
which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I think this is a really cool idea and an amazing technological achievement because these cards are so tiny. But
yeah,
but I think this also has the potential to open a door for even more competition through cell carriers, which ultimately translates to better deals for us as consumers.
Well, right now it translates to better deals in Europe because they actually have options over there.
Right, but yeah, baby steps.
But someday for us, it may actually mean something. I am for this. This is another one of those things that I was telling somebody yesterday, as a matter of fact, my friend over at GeekBeat TV, Ben Raythig, as we were talking about this yesterday, I had mentioned to him that the thing that has been interesting to me is that this is the first mobile provider, sort of mobile carrier innovation from Apple themselves. And because in the past, we've seen Apple-driven carrier innovation. Like Apple came out with the iPhone 3G. And so whether they wanted to or not, because it was only available on AT&T, we all kind of knew what AT&T were going to be up to for the next year. Mm-hmm. And that was making sure that everyone had a 3G network to use their new 3G phone on, because the free world wanted them. So I think that this is an interesting development because it's Apple stepping a bit further into a mobile provider, mobile hardware sort of marketplace. One of the theories I've heard floated about this, because it is a teeny weeny little itty bitty card, is design. First of all, they'd, you know, Apple ideally would get rid of the card altogether or something. Mm-hmm. Which almost to me seems like a step backward, only because I remember when that used to be the case here, it meant that you couldn't take your phone to anybody else. If you had a Verizon phone, it didn't work anywhere except on Verizon forever. There was no such thing as a carrier unlock, because even if you unlocked it, the bands weren't the same. So it's going to be interesting to me to see how this goes, because it's also unlocked. Right. Which is why you can switch back and forth between carriers. I can buy from T-Mobile this month, and then I can also buy from AT&T next month if I so desire. And it's going to be – I'll make popcorn, and we'll just sit and watch and see what happens, because I'm really interested in this. I wonder if – I don't think so, but I wonder if the Apple SIM is also in the 6s, the iPhone 6s.
That's an interesting question. All right, so if someone knows if it's the same SIM in the iPhone 6, please let me know. I know when I popped my SIM out of my 6 when I got iOS 8.0.1, it didn't look any different to me than the SIM that I had my iPhone 5S. And it worked in my 5S as well, because I popped it in there so I'd have a working phone while I unbricked my 6.
Yeah.
So anyhow, yeah, if anyone knows if we have the new Highlander SIM in the iPhone 6 as well, that would be great to know. Let us know.
Yeah. And it would be really exciting, because it would be a thing that I think again, is good for customers, and we're finally at the point where once in a while one of these kinds of things should go our way.
I like it when things go our way. That's how it should be.
It doesn't happen near often enough, particularly when it comes to mobile in the United States.
Yes. And you know what? I think we've come to a great wrap-up point for today.
Okay.
Believe it or not. So, Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today. And I'm so glad that we both survived yesterday's announcement palooza.
Yes.
And everyone have an awesome weekend.